Hezbollah's show of strength today is a reminder of the muscle the Shiite Muslim group exerts in Lebanon. Shia are considered the biggest sect in the country, an estimated quarter to one-third of the population. The protests are also a reminder of the arcane system for dividing political power in Lebanon among the country's various religious and ethnic groups. Since Lebanon gained independence from France in 1943, it's been governed under what's called a confessional system. Public offices are allocated along set religious lines. Here to explain is Karim Makdisi. He's assistant professor of political studies at the American University of Beirut. Welcome.
Thank you.
Let's talk first about the top offices in the country. This would be the president, prime minister, and president of the National Assembly. Each is reserved for a particular religious group. How does that break down?
Well, basically, the president of the republic is a Maronite Christian. The prime minister would be a Sunni Muslim, and the speaker of the house would be a Shia Muslim.
And that does not change?
That has not changed. That has not changed. In fact, it became certified within the Taif Accords that ended the Lebanese War.
That was in 1989?
That's right.
And what about in Parliament? How is that divided?
Again, because of the Taif Accords, it's now been certified as 50-50. So it's 50% has to be Christian, 50% has to be Muslim. Whereas before that, there was a slight majority to the Christians based on the early census of the 30s.
Yeah, this system is all based on a census from 1932, as I understand it, a time when Christians would have outnumbered Muslims in Lebanon. But Muslims now say those numbers are way out of date and that they're owed a greater share of power.
That's right. Well, essentially, if you were to follow the latest figures, and again, there's no official census since 1932, latest estimates would be something like around 58% Muslim and around 42% Christian within Lebanon. But there's not so much anymore a kind of arguments about this because it's been split 50-50, and the political leaderships on both sides have agreed that within Parliament and within the government system in general, that a 50-50 share of power is acceptable to just about everybody.
Now, why has there been no official census since 1932?
Well, I think it's in part got to do with not showing that there's now a majority of Muslims and somehow disrupting this very, very delicate sectarian balance. So if you were to show that there was, let's say, 60% Muslim and 40% Christian, then you would have to assign 60% of the power to Muslims and 40% to Christians, and that would destroy the delicate sectarian balance. And nobody really wants that.
Hypothetically, if Lebanon were to move from this confessional system that it has now to a system where whoever gets the most votes wins, what mm-hmm. would the government look like?
Well, that's a very hypothetical question.
Mm-hmm.
There's always been a kind of long-term goal to abolish the sectarian system. In fact, there's supposed to be a committee of high-level people which are supposed to meet to sort of find a mechanism and a way to abolish sectarianism within the government structure. Obviously, they have not met yet because there's always something going on to sort of postpone it. Personally, I think it's, for me, the only way forward, which is to plot ahead a system in a way in which Lebanon, whether it takes 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, for Lebanon to dismantle the sectarian system, at least within the government area, and to try to look forward to a relationship between the government and people as one of just citizenship, one-on-one. And this is publicly stated in the Taif Accords and in many of the declarations of many of the different leaders in Lebanon.
Would the effect then be, do you think, that Lebanon would become an Islamic state?
No, certainly not. Absolutely not. There was a very brief moment during the war when there was some people were afraid of that. But Lebanon has, you know, over 17 officially recognized religions. It's a thriving capitalist state, and in fact, there's no group in Lebanon that calls for an Islamic state. So that's very far away, and I think that's somewhat mischievous representation that happens very often in Western media, to sort of somehow portray Hezbollah as pushing for an Islamic state. But they no longer do that in Lebanon.
Professor Makdisi, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Karim Makdisi is Assistant Professor of Political Studies at the American University of Beirut.